It was all madness, of course. In the darker moments of the night, when doubt came to call, she realized that with agonizing certainty. Despite Karras's present naval advantage, the kingdom was simply too small, even with Chisholm's support, to resist indefinitely the massive power the church could bring to bear upon them. In those dark watches of the night, it was all dreadfully clear, inevitable. But not anymore. She shook her head, marveling at the simple awareness which flowed through her. Before she'd arrived in Karras, her belief that Karras and Chisholm might survive had been a thing of intellect, the triumph of analytical intelligence over the insistence of common sense, and, she admitted to herself at last, a thing of desperation, something she'd been forced to believe, to make herself believe, if there were to be any hope of her own realm's survival in the face of the church's obvious willingness to destroy anyone even suspected of disobedience to the group of four. That had changed now, changed when she realized Caleb, in person, despite his youth, despite his undeniable charm, was even more impressive in fact than in rumor. There was something incredibly engaging about his flashes of boyish enthusiasm. But behind those flashes, she saw the implacable warrior who had won the most smashing naval victories in the history of Safehold, who was prepared to go on however long he must to win as many more victories as his cause required, because he truly believed men and women were supposed to be more than the obedient slaves of corrupt men who claimed to speak with the authority of God himself. And even more impressive, perhaps, was the fact that his kingdom and his people believed with him, believed in him. They were prepared to go as far as he led them, to face any foe, even Mother Church herself, at his side. Not at his heels, but at his side. And she realized wonderingly, wanted to do the same thing, to face whatever storm might come, whatever odds might be, because it was the right thing to do. Because he and his father, Archbishop Michael, his nobles, and his parliament, had decided it was their responsibility. Because they'd been right when they made that decision, that choice. And because she wanted to share in that same ability to do what was right because it was right. And the fact that he's not just cute, but probably one of the sexiest men you've ever encountered, has nothing at all to do with it, does it, Charlene? A corner of her brain insisted upon asking her. Of course it doesn't, she told that pesky corner sternly. And even if it did, this is hardly the time to be thinking about that, you silly twit. Go away. Still, I've got to admit that it doesn't hurt, either. Can we really make this work, Caleb? She asked him softly, turning back to face him. Not just us, just you and me, Caleb and Charlene, all of it. After what Madame Dinis told us this evening, with all the wealth and the manpower the Group of Four command, can we make it work?
Yes, he said simply.
You make it sound so easy.
Her voice was wondering, not dismissive, and he smiled wryly. Not easy, no. He shook his head. Of all the words you might use to describe it, easy is the last one I'd choose. But I believe it's something more important than easy. It's inevitable, Charlene. There are too many lies in Zion, too much deceit and corruption, more than anyone suspects. I'm not so foolish as to think truth and justice must inevitably triumph simply because they deserve to. But liars ultimately destroy the things they lie to protect, and corruption, ambition, and betrayal inevitably betray themselves as well. That's what's happening here.